You are listening to A Message from Victory. We hope this will encourage you to grow in your faith.
Morning, everyone. Happy New Year. We are going through this series. This is a play of words, word view. Instead of world view is more of your preposition. It's your view in life, your belief system that is basically sometimes adapted all throughout the years of your growing up. You have adapted, picked it up somewhere in school, somewhere in your conversations growing up, in your life journey. You picked it up and became who you really are today in your belief system. But you know, there are times where you have, you know, already received the Lord, but in your mind, the system, the mindset are still of the world. And so the challenge is for us to how to adopt the things of the scriptures, and we reason according to the scripture. How can we reason according to the scriptures? How can we think Christianly, if there's such a term? Christianly. Sometimes we are Christians by heart. We go to heaven when we die, but we think like somebody who is not in a relationship with God. And so it's possible. That's why the Bible says, renew your mind. It didn't say renew your heart. Only God can renew our hearts. But our minds, we were commanded to renew our minds because there's only one way to do that, and that is through the scripture. So we're going to be focusing for the next 8 weeks on the Word of God and its importance for the next 8 weeks. But this will also help us set the tone of the year and the next years to come, you know. Set the tone of the year that we will allow the Word of God and His will to direct our paths this year rather than, you know, the belief system we have embraced in the past. It may be negative, it may sound positive. Some of the things that we have embraced sometimes would even sound biblical, but not in the Bible. Have you, like for example, ano ba yung sinasabi natin, sometimes we say, God helps those who helps themselves. You know where it's found? It's found in Hesitation chapter 6, verse 66. Haven't you heard that before? You know, God helps those who helps themselves. And so it's very humanistic. We have a saying, theologians would debate on this. Nasa Diyos ang awa, nasa tao ang gawa. Now, if you use that in gaining salvation, then that's problematic. Now, if you also use that in merely, now I've received the Lord, is by faith in Christ for my salvation, so everything now is according to me. It depends on me. Now, you have become practical atheists. May Diyos ka nga na wini-worship, pero in your behavior, walang Diyos. Kasi ikaw lagi bida. This thing can only be done by me. You know, I mean, it's the center of the universe, the ego of you, your ego, you, who you are, the ultimate selfie, you know. It's all about you. But I want you to know that it could be, probably, it's been adopted from James chapter 2, where it says that, you know, without works, show me faith without works. Diba? Remember that? It was a debate in the book of James. But I want you to know that even at times that we think that we are working by ourselves, the Lord is already working ahead of time, ahead of us, preparing the way for us. And sometimes we get the credit without knowing the Lord has prepared and been working, you know, ever since. He's been working all along. And so even those mindset, or you're in a conversation and then you put a judgment on the person and says, makarma kasana. Karma, kailan ka ba naging Hindu? Akala ko ba Christian ka, di ba? And we say, baka makarma ka. And we say those words. We've never even researched, ano nga ba yung karma, di ba? Or we get into things like, and we don't even study the origin. We go through exercise and we call it, oh, I'm going through a yoga exercise. Yeah, you know, yoga, I just go through the exercise, but not the, you know, not the spirit behind it. Yeah, but if you study further, you realize that the intent of yoga is worship and meditation. And anyways, we can debate on that. We can write a blog and we can talk about it and debate. But the point is, there are a lot of mindsets, a lot of things that we have adopted that we think are right. But if when you examine the scriptures, ang layo pala. I'd like us to challenge the way we go through things. There's some, not non-religious things that we have accepted. I was talking with somebody in the office and it says, oh, do you know that it has been said that when you do something over and over seven times, was it seven times? It'll become your habit and it become your behavior. And so therefore you adopt that because you've been doing it seven times, a certain number, you know. Huh? 21 times. If you do it 21 times, if you do something 21 times, then it becomes part of you. Have you heard that before? Go research. Somebody is about to put it on a paper and put it in on a website. And I said, would you please research before you put it on your website? So he was already excited to put it. And I says, okay, let me go research. And guess what he found? It was a hoax. So in other words, you don't just embrace everything people say. You think and you examine. I like how the Bereans were encouraged by Paul when he says the Bereans were of more noble character. Encouraged or highlighted by Dr. Luke, the author of Acts. He says the Bereans were of more noble character than the Thessalonians. Because when they hear the scripture preach, they would listen and then they go home and examine the scripture whether what Paul preached, what Paul said was really true. I like that attitude. The attitude of you don't care who's speaking. You don't just embrace everything. You think through, is it really in the scriptures? The person talking may be me. You don't just embrace everything that I say, though, you know, I'd love for you to listen. But you listen and you think Christianly. And you examine the scriptures. That's why I take the time as a pastor to study the scriptures and examine some of the theological perspectives and go to commentaries to find out if this is really a good explanation of the text. We study as pastors. It would take time for us to study so that we'll be able to feed the flock. And so the same way, us as believers, we don't just embrace things. And so, having said that, this has been a battle, even in the start. In the Garden of Eden, the Lord has given one simple instruction, His word. And His instruction was, you should not eat the fruit of that tree. Guess what happened in chapter 3? The Lord showed up in the garden. He looked and asked a question. He says, where are you? And then Adam responded and he says, I was afraid. When I heard the sound, I was afraid and I was naked and I hid myself. The Lord says, who told you that you were naked? Who told you? The Lord is questioning. You've been hearing another voice. You're supposed to be hearing just my voice. But you're hearing other voices and you've embraced that other voice. And now you're saying you're afraid. You're naked. Now you're hiding yourself from me. It's been a battle. It's been a battle then. It's still the battle today. So therefore, when we say, Lord, this year is going to be a year of prosperity and abundance, well, it depends. What voice have you been listening to? And we're going to look at that, and it's a challenge for us. I want our year to truly be a blessed 2018. Who among you here, you want a blessed 2018? Amazing, I'm in the right place. Well, guess what? The author of Psalms spoke and he says, blessed is a man. Let's look at that passage, verse 1, chapter 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers or mockers in NIV. Let's look at that passage right now. Blessed, the first word mentioned. I want you to know that the first chapter of Psalm dictates the tone of the entire book of Psalms. Say Psalms. Hindi yan Psalms. Okay, the book of Psalms. So you see the tone of voice of the entire book right here in chapter 1. And the first word mentioned was blessed. What would it take for a man to be blessed? Now here is a scripture written by different authors. The main contributor was David himself, a songwriter. A psalm is a song. And he wrote it and collected it from different contributors and put it in a book called Psalms. And he has written this for the people of God. Psalm was written for the people of God, Israelites. It wasn't written for the pagans. It wasn't written for the unbelievers. It was written for the believers. And yet, this is what he was saying. Blessed is the man. This is how their way of writing. They always put an example. So without a name, he just called them a man, okay? He says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked. Walking means lifestyle. This is how I live my life. Walking. And I want you to notice the next part of the verse. Who does not... blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands. Could you imagine? The first one, he was walking. Now, after he has considered it, he decided to stand. Now he's contemplating on it. And then, the next part of the verse, he says, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. Now he's so comfortable of what he contemplated on, he decided to sit and stay with the rest of the scoffers. He stopped walking. He stopped in his walk with God, in his journey. He stopped and he considered, and in trying to embrace what the scoffers and the wicked and sinners are saying. I could see a progression as well of how the sinners were addressed. First, they were wicked, sinners, then scoffers. Wicked and sinners is almost the same, but scoffers is more aggressive. It's someone who is a bully, you know, scorning, scoffers, and, you know, trying to, you know, bully you. And it's more an active sense. And so now here's a person who is blessed. And why was he blessed? Because he decided to be discerning. He decided to be departing from the world system, from the world. He departed from the world. And some of you say, but Pastor, I've already cut off my bridge. You know, it's a bridge of no return. I'm not going back to the world. Okay, but I want you to be discerning. Unlike this person, while he was following God, he decided not to stop walking and stand. Now he's sitting amongst them. They made a study. It's a phenomenon among youth, among young people, that even if you have one young person with a high standard of conviction, if you get into a group of other young people with a low standard of conviction, he'll end up, or that person, she'll end up lowering her standard as well, because it depends on his surroundings or her surroundings. That's a phenomenon. It's the phenomenon of the pact, the power of the pact. If the conviction of the entire group is really that low, expect your conviction to go down that low as well. As a youth pastor, I've been a youth pastor for a long time. Pinky would know it. She's been helping me. She's our ever faithful volunteer all these years. And I would use peer pressure in a positive sense. That, you know, a person with so much negative background, when we get that person to a group of young people who are on fire for God, that person's conviction, however low that is, will rise to a certain point where he too or she too can be on fire for God. And so And so the same way, blesses the man. You depart from the world. Person who is blessed departs from the world. A blessed person departs from the world and says, no to this mindset, no to these counsels, no to this pressure. And number two, verse two, let's look at verse two right now. It says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. A person that God blesses departs from the world or have a discernment. A person is able to discern, believe God for wisdom, to know what is right and wrong, so that your decision this year will be in accordance to his will and is pleasing to the Lord. Second is a person who delights in God's word. A person that God blesses is a person that delights in God's word. His delight. You know what it means by delight? During this vacation, sometimes I would watch action films. My daughter, I was watching her. I looked at what she was watching. She was watching a feature on ramen in Japan. And so I kind of watched, and now I'm longing to eat ramen because it's a science, at least according to the Japanese. It took maybe 54 minutes of documentary on how to make ramen. Who among you here you like ramen? Raise your hands. Woohoo! Who among you don't like ramen at all? Okay, there's some of you. So after watching it, I want to go to a Japanese restaurant and eat the ramen. You know, it's like you want to long to eat ramen. It's not just something. It's a science. It's prepared. It's been, they spend time and hours and so on and so forth. So your delight. Filipinos, we love food. We don't eat three times. We eat six times. Okay? Even if your food is so small, you invite others, to come and eat with you. You know, we're an inclusive culture. We love to eat. Suspicion other person might have, it will be put down when everybody's eating, There's now trust because we're now eating together. And so delight, you delight yourself as much as you're looking forward to eat your food. Don't think right now of your lunch. Okay, there's a verse I'd like you to see. Jeremiah 15, verse 16, it says, your words were found and I ate them. And your words became to me a joy and a delight of my heart. For I am called by your name, O Lord, God of hosts. I found your word and I ate them. It's like food. And it's a joy and a delight of my heart. His word is like a delight of your heart. Some of you leave the house without eating your breakfast. Who among you are a breakfast person? You can't leave the house without eating your breakfast. Raise your hands. All right? Who among you can forgo the breakfast and just eat huge lunch after? Come on, raise your hands. All right, some of you are just lazy morning person, okay? Me, I'm a breakfast person, okay? I have to prepare. If everybody's asleep, I'm going to cook something, prepare something. If I'm really late, I'm going to get something, a snack or something, and eat in the car, And so you cannot live without eating. And the same way with the word. Your delight is in the word. You're looking forward to read the word and get into the word. And that's amazing. Some of you here, you get to read the scriptures. You delight in his word. There's nothing like old school. Have your own Bible like this. Now there are alternatives. You can have, YouVersion, one of the most popular Bible app out there. And you can download it for free, and you can have a Read Your Bible the Entire Year program. And I did that last year. It was amazing. I did it again this year, another program, but it's still reading the Bible the entire year. Now, sometimes I read from my phone or from my laptop, but But if I'm in the house, I just forego of that. Because if I'm looking at my phone and reading my Bible, everybody thinks I'm doing Facebook. So instead of, you know, instead of them thinking I'm in the book, they're thinking you're having Facebook, you know. So I forego of that and go to the old school, you know, get my Bible and read. When things are tough and hectic, you have to leave very early in the morning and you're in the middle of traffic or something like that, you can always click the audio and listen to the Word. Instead of listening to other junks, why don't you listen to the Word? His delight is in the law of the Lord. He meditates. Say meditates. Meditation is to the is to the inner man like a digestion to our body. You have to digest your food. You don't digest it, there'll be no nourishment to your body and you won't be able to function well that day. You have to digest your food. The same way with us. We have to meditate. Meditate means to almost to the point of muttering it to yourself and over and over and over. Have you seen somebody talking to themselves? Yeah, you talk to yourself sometimes. And well, you can do that with the scriptures. You look at the scriptures. Sometimes you read it out loud. Sometimes you know, and then emphasize on whatever verse. Maybe we can do that in our victory group this week, huh? Maybe we can look at the text and get one text and we memorize and we mutter it. We say it, we ponder it over and over again. So that it's like a digestion. You eat your food, you digest it, and become part of your system that will sustain you that day. Let the Word of God sustain us this year. Let His Word direct us to a prosperous new year. Meditate on His Word. Joshua 1:8, one of my favorite verses. Let's all read this together. Ready? Go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you'll make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success. We want the last part, success and prosperous. But we didn't realize that the key to prosperity and success is to meditate on His Word day and night. So you will be able to carefully do according to what is written. Then you become prosperous and successful. That's the Word of God for us today. So we meditate on the Word. Some of you are listening there today and you're saying, Lord, I want Your Word. I want to meditate on Your Word. I want to learn how to be discerning and to think through and see things according to Your perspective. And it alone, there's no shortcuts. It will happen if I get into the Word and meditate on it. A person that God blesses is a person that departs from the world, a person that delights in His Word, and number three, a person that depends on the source. Depends on the source. Why is that? We look at verse 3. Let's look at verse 3. And it says, it's like a tree. Say, like a tree. Once again, the scripture is using an illustration. You are not a tree, but you are like. Okay? A man is blessed when he is not walking amongst the scoffers, amongst the wicked and the sinners, and standing there and sitting with them, but he's a person, he's like a tree planted by the streams of water. That yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he what? Prosper. He prospers. Once again, that's the word prosper there. And it would require for that tree to get its root system to be connected to the water source, planted by the streams of water. And I want you to picture a godly person, a follower of Jesus, like a tree. Hindi naman mukhang kahoy, parang kahoy. Okay. And planted by the streams of water. In contrast to that, is found in the next verse 4. It says, the wicked are not so. They're not like tree, but they are like a chaff. You know what a chaff is if you're a farmer from Central Luzon? A chaff is yung chaff. Yun yung palay na walang laman sa loob, di ba? Ipa. Okay, that's the word. Ipa. Have you heard about that word? Ipa. Chaff is ipa. Nothing in there. And so what a farmer would do during ancient times, they would use something, a tool, and then let it, they toss it in the air, and then the wind would carry the ipa, the chaff away. And the one with real kernel, with real wheat in it, with real rice in it, will go straight down. Yun po ang importante. Yung chaff, tapon nyo na po yun. Ipa yun. Para yun sa mga pato sa pateros. Para sa mga balut. Anyways, and this one, siguro ito Pilipino to, kasi electric fan eh. Hanabishi yata ginagamit eh. Hanabishi. And so, now could you imagine the difference between a tree and a chaff? Ang righteous, the one following God, is parang puno. Itong ungodly, parang ipa, of no use. Good to be tossed by the wind, because it is of no use. Psalm 35, let's go to verse 35. Let them like chaff before the wind, and the angel of the Lord driving them away. The angel of the Lord is like the wind that would drive away the wicked, like a chaff. If you go to the States and you go through Phoenix, or through Texas, there are a lot of desert place there and wide space. While driving, you would see this weed, tumbleweed, not the weed that you know, okay? It's a tumbleweed, and they would cross the highway. And these are supposed to be plants with no root system. They are just tossed by the wind and they go from one place to another. That's why they're called tumbleweeds. We don't want to be tumbleweeds Christians this year. We want to be like a tree planted strongly in a place where we're near at the source. I am going to be like a tree this year, not a chaff, because the Lord has destined me to be successful and prosperous this year, that I'll bear fruit that will last. By the way, fruit is designed for others, not for ourselves. It's for others. We want to bear fruit, whether in season or out of season, because the Lord is with me. Let's go back to that Jeremiah 17 verse 8, just to highlight again what's happening, what's the picture of this year. He's like a tree planted by the water, that sends out its roots by the stream, and does not fear when heat comes. You are not going to be fearful this year. Why? For its leaves remain green, and is not anxious in the year of drought. This year, we're not going to be anxious. Heat may come, but we will continue to bear fruit. And we're going to be prosperous this year because we are like a tree planted by the streams of water. Hallelujah. That's going to be the picture of our lives this year. No anxiety would attack us this year, because it's like a tree. It does not cease to bear fruit. Hallelujah. And that is the picture. And amazingly, a person that God blesses is a person that departs from the world, delights in His Word, and depends on the source. He is the source of life. When you're always connected to the source, there's always life. When you depart from the world and you don't walk the ways of the world and its system and mindset, you don't embrace those mindsets, you set it aside. There's only one way you want to take, and that's the way of Jesus, who delights in His Word. Jesus, the Bible says in 14 verse 6 of John, says He is the way, the truth. We delight in His Word and the life. We depend on the source of that life, that river of God that supplies, He provides for us. So we'll be strengthened and continue to sustain, and not just to survive, but to thrive in the years to come. We want this year be directed by God's will through His Word. We want our journey be directed by God's will as we delight in His Word. And that's our heart. Who among here, you want to delight on His Word as you delight on food? We want delight in His Word. We always look forward to wake up in the morning. I would suggest, you know, you always have your Bible next to you, your notebook, and your Mongol number two. You know, sometimes you get ideas. When you read your Bible, sometimes you get ideas. When you needed a pen, there's no pen. Why don't you just prepare it? Your Bible, your notebook, and your pen. So when you wake up in the morning, you know exactly what to do. And you know where it is. Because you're looking forward. You're delighting in His Word. And it's amazing that the first word of the chapter is the word what? Blessed. But the last word of the chapter is the word what? Look at the text. What's the last word mentioned of the chapter? Perish. Perish. I don't want to perish this year. I want to be blessed. It's your choice. Make a choice this time and say, Lord, this is the direction of my year. It's going to be a blessed year. It's going to be Your will. It's going to be, Lord, I'll be at the very center of Your will. The same way with what Pastor John mentioned today in Psalm 27, verse 4, was it? One thing I do, I gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, that I may dwell in His presence. That's my desire, to have my connection and source with my Lord. I want you to bow down your heads and close your eyes. Let's pray. Father God, thank You for this morning. Thank You, Lord, for setting up our year. Thinking right. Help us, Lord, to think Christianly this year. That we won't think like pagans. That we won't adopt the mindsets of the world. But we would learn to embrace as we read and meditate Your Word. That we would hear Your voice clearly. That we won't be afraid. Just like Adam and Eve, they were so afraid when God showed up, because they've been hearing another voice, not the voice of God. We say this year, we want Your voice to prevail. We want to hear it, meditate on it, and let it be applied in our lives. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I want to put your hands on your ears as if it's like a prophetic act of hearing His voice. Just put your hands on your side of your on your ears. Father God, today we dedicate our ears. Let the ears of our hearts hear Your voice. Lord, there are many voices, and sometimes we get drowned by the voices of the world. Make our ears be sensitive to Your Word, to the leading of the Holy Spirit, to the Word that we have been meditating and memorizing. You guide us, Holy Spirit. Bring into remembrance what You've been planting into our hearts, so that when we're faced with other voices and other counsel and other advice that is not from Your Word, we can easily discern it and say, I am not going to take that. I'm going to take this path and I'm going to walk in it. The Word of the Lord. Father God, let our lives be led by You all throughout the year, and not be lost in the name of Jesus. Jesus, You are the way, the truth, and the life. Ultimately, our covenant relationship with Jesus is what makes us blessed. Thank You, Jesus, for being who You are to us.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. We hope you were challenged and inspired by the message. Together, let's continue to honor God and make disciples.